Why don't we head on back to our seats? We'll get started with our message. Welcome first to Thanksgiving week. This is a week for a big week for all of us as we celebrate Thanksgiving in many different ways. And I so appreciate that we have this holiday here in America because it's a good annual reminder for us to be thankful. And that's what I really want to come to you today and just encourage us to enter into this week with Thanksgiving on our hearts and minds, not just go through all the motions. I'm sure we all have Thanksgiving traditions. We're starting to get into the holiday season, and our minds are turning to all kinds of things that happen, and it can be stressful and busy. And I think it's important for us to consider thankfulness at the root of all of those things. And today I want to just express to us the idea of how powerful Thanksgiving is when we begin there. If we have an attitude of thanks and we take that into all the things of life, then it can help us navigate those things in new ways. And so as we think about Thanksgiving, the first thought I have is always that who are we giving thanks to? Right? And it's important to remember we're giving thanks to the Lord. We look to Him this Thanksgiving week and consider all that He is doing for us. And perhaps we can pray for God this year to give us all a new understanding of the power of giving thanks, not just for this week, but for every day of our lives. So the first thing I want to do today is take a look at the last chapter in the book of Philippians. We've been exploring the book of Philippians, and Paul has something to say here about thanksgiving, and he expresses it from an attitude of thanks, and I think there's some things that we can learn about the power of giving thanks from this. So we're going to take a look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8 today. And so if you have your Bible with you, go ahead and open it up to that, and we'll take a look together. So Philippians 4 through 8 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." And so there are a lot of things in here that Paul is expressing that speak into the power of giving thanks. Let's start with the beginning where he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And this is a statement that I see coming from Paul having a perspective of thanks. You can't make yourself just rejoice. You can't just take this as a command and like, okay, no matter how I'm feeling, what is happening in my life, I need to rejoice in the Lord. You know, it's not something you can do from a negative perspective on life. You need to have reasons to rejoice. And when you think about who God is, what He's done, what He does for us every day, there actually are plenty of reasons to rejoice in the Lord, no matter what is happening around us. I often remind myself that just the fact that I have the promise of salvation through Jesus and have fellowship with God because of the grace that He has shown me, I have reasons to be thankful every day. So rejoicing always in the Lord happens when you have an attitude of thanks, when you have put in the forefront of your mind the wonderful things the Lord has done. And we're going to come back to that in a little bit, and we're going to try to put that into practice this morning. But just stop and think for a moment of all the things that you can be thankful to the Lord for. If you highlight those things in your life, you can rejoice in the Lord. You always have reasons to find joy in every situation. And I think this is so powerful in this world that we live in, a sinful and broken world. That world, our experiences with it, have a way of wearing your joy down. It can be easy for us, if we don't take proactive steps toward thankfulness, to just get wrapped up in dark clouds of doubt and anxiety and worry. This is the story of our society in so many ways. So we need to strengthen our hearts and our minds against the negative stuff of life. It has a way of wrapping itself around us if we just don't do something about it intentionally. And then we can become cynical and worried and full of despair just by letting life creep in on us. So find those reasons to always rejoice in the Lord and cling to them. We need to retrain our hearts and minds to begin with an attitude of thanksgiving. We can't just wait for it to come. It's something that we have to seek out. Now, Paul also says, let your gentleness be evident to everyone. And I think that is also something that becomes possible when you have an attitude of thanks. A thankful heart has a way of helping you remain calm and gentle in all situations. Paul reminds us that the Lord is near. He's always near us. And knowing that and having peace from that, because you know who he is and what he provides, allows you to just be present with him in every situation and let your gentleness be seen by everyone. We don't just react to everything that happens to us when we know that the Lord is near, when we've put our focus on him and reminded ourselves to remain near him when things happen to us. So these beginning of this section, Paul is speaking to us, I think, from his own perspective of knowing the Lord is near. He's reminding us of that. And what comes from that is an attitude of rejoicing and grace and gentleness toward others, because we're secure in the Lord. Paul then goes on to give us some action steps. What do you do when the stuff of life starts to produce anxiety and get a hold of you? Well, that's where Philippians 4:6 comes in, where he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And I think, in general, we understand that if I have a concern, I take it to the Lord. I bring it to him in prayer. But notice the central place thanksgiving has in this. It's not enough to just present our request to God. You can do that with an anxious and worried heart. And being uncertain, not being thankful, being concerned and worried while you present your request to God does nothing to give you peace. You walk away from the prayer having asked the Lord for what you need and what you want, and you still feel the worry and the doubt and the anxiety. And you wonder, is God going to hear my prayer? Is he going to answer me? Is he going to take care of this? And you can just continue to remain in that cycle. But when you present your request with thanksgiving, you overcome all that anxiety. To pray with thanksgiving means that you remind yourself once again of God's goodness, his grace, his presence, the way that he has fulfilled promises in your life. So as you present your request to him today, you remind yourself that he has already been faithful in the past, and we have nothing to fear. We can let those requests go. We can let the anxiety go because we have brought thankfulness into our encounter with the Lord. You know that he is there for you. And so thankfulness has the power to change everything that we experience in those moments. We will have things that produce concern for us. Present those things to the Lord, but they be thankful. Look for the reasons to be thankful as you present to them to him. And he will meet you in that moment. And you can walk away from that moment of prayer with confidence in him. Next, I want to take a look at verse 8. Where it says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. When I think about the power of thanksgiving, I see this as a recipe for finding thankfulness. Paul is calling us in a world that fills our minds with all kinds of other thoughts, in a world that tends to divide, that causes fear, that causes worry, that seems to provoke those things, Paul is calling us to look at other things instead. Look first and foremost at these things, whatever is true and noble and good and lovely. And when you do that, when you make yourself think about those things first, then you can find reasons to be thankful in this world. Now, I'm sure you've been there where you just feel like you can't find thankfulness. All you can see is the worry and the doubt. It takes effort sometimes, and it sometimes takes others around you to help you see those reasons to be thankful once again. We need these kind of proactive and intentional steps to remain thankful, to find thankfulness. So again, let me read through that list one more time. Think about these things, whatever is true. What's true about you? What's true about the Lord? What's true about what he is doing in this world? Think about whatever is noble. Think about whatever is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable, what is excellent and praiseworthy. Let's think about those kinds of things in our daily life. And it may take some effort, but we can find these things every day. That is what's going to produce thankfulness. And when we have thankfulness in our heart, as I said earlier, we find peace, we find strength, we find joy. That is the path to living the kind of life that we're called to as Christians, beginning with thankfulness. So one of my big goals today is that we could inspire one another toward thankfulness. As I said, it's not always easy to find on your own. Sometimes we need those around us. And as we enter into this Thanksgiving week, we may have other things in our mind. We have plans to get ready for. We have details to work out. Maybe we have concerns about family gatherings or other gatherings that are coming up. We need to find thankfulness. So we need to enter into all that with a thankful heart. And as a church family, what I really want for us to do is to have our worship time be a time where we inspire one another, more than just me giving you things to think about. So what I'd like to do today for the rest of our time is just take that list, start with that list in Philippians 4:8 of all the things that Paul says to think about. Or think about what else gives you peace and security and thanksgiving. And let's share those with one another today. What inspires you to be thankful? And how can you share that with your church family today that could help us all be inspired to enter into this week with thanksgiving? And as you have something on, I invite you to come up to the microphone because I think we've got people online. We're recording this so we can share it. So come on up to the front and share those things that give you thankfulness.
First of all, thinking of all the things that God has blessed me with and the things that I kind of take for granted, my home, my family, my husband, my job, my, you know, the roof over our heads. But also remembering how he's come through in the past, how he's, the things that he's arranged to bring us to a certain place that it was like, oh, how did that happen? Well, God did it. And just remembering those past stories of what he's done.
Well, I have discovered that every morning I wake up, the first thing I say is, thank you, God, for another day. And it's just that helps me get the mindset of, okay, I'm going to look for things to be thankful for. Because, like, thank you, God, you gave me another chance. I have one more day to do something for you, and it just helps me see things that I maybe would otherwise miss if I was like rah, 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 about stuff. So it just helps set my mind on a good path for every day.
I am thankful for being able to come together and meet with other people with like hearts and like minds that love the Lord, and to fellowship together. For each one, it's like we're family, and I'm just so grateful we can come together and not worry about outside and everything else, but we can trust that God is good right in our midst. Anyhow, I'm also thankful that Brian is here today. He was in the hospital this week, and he still comes to us. And I'm just thankful that Pat could sing. I'm thankful that each of us have something to do here, and it's happy to get together with our church family. Thank you.
It's a great reminder of all the millions of ways that God blesses our lives. Yeah. As I think about that, and I think about things that are lovely and admirable, I'm often reminded of just looking around at what God created and how, what a miracle it is that we even exist, that our bodies are able to function, that we can bring new life into this world. It's fascinating. It's just to be thankful to the Lord that He makes that possible. And it's not just a thing that He began when He created us, but He continues to be involved in it day after day. And that is the second thing that I think of often, is that He is with us. I am just so thankful for the Lord's presence in my life. He reminds me often that I'm not alone. And that makes a world of difference for me, to know that even if there aren't people around, He is with me. So many things to be thankful for. So if there's anything else you'd like to share, feel free to come up. Yeah.
So this one's actually from Mariah Wilson from online. The little things that make such a huge impact, seeing people hanging on to any bit of authentic love of the Bible and the people's true essence, I'm absolutely filled with thanks for feeling more and more called to being an example and being with and for God everywhere we go. It's an absolutely a joy to find understanding always. It's so comforting.
Take a minute, so I hope you guys got a minute. What the pastor speaking is true. Thanks to God for whatever there is one of the most powerful things you could ever do. We take our lives and we go out that door and we just say, okay, church is done, I'm going to go do my thing. I'm going to share something that just happened to me this weekend. So then later, she brought it to my realization. She said, you know, you're a kind man, you're everything there is, but you're different. You're like two different people. I said, what? And then, you know, I said, gave her my number to call. And she, I thinking about that, and I said, God, where am I different? And God says, I've been there with you the whole time. I've been there the whole time with you, but it's like you put me on a shelf or you push me away. And when you're hearing two different voices, sometimes it's not me. And I said, I thought I was doing. And he said, no. He said, 99% of my people today living are doing that today. They go out and do their own thing, but they don't come to me. And then when trouble comes along, that's when they come. They pass up people, and they don't see. So anyway, I'm going to get back to what she said to me that just broke my heart. I turned around and said, okay, forgive me, God. I got on my knees. I wept. I pent. But anyway, when I was there, I was losing all. And then God turned around and finally came and said, Randy, you're not the only thing that's holding you above water right now is what this lady over here gave me. She gave me this prayer when I was going through my operation. And I read that every morning. It's God's promises, but it's God's thanking. I thank God every morning. That reaffirms me. And he says, that's the only thing that's keeping you, because you're always thanking me, my son, and the Holy Spirit, and you're going up. But you got to learn that in everything you do, you got to go out with the armor, just and all that, and my promises, but you got to thank us. You got to let me lead the way. And so he said, you used to be like that. Before you used to go out, you used to vision in your head, see a different thing. Like there's. Don't picture a person the way they are. Picture the person what they can be, what you could see them. That's what we need to do. So that's what I used to do, and I got away from it. And the pastor's right, you can't just do it, you know, think these things. You got to think in your heart and put God in there and lend the way and turn around and say, Father, talk to him. I don't care if there's a million people around you. I go to McDonald's and talk, and people look at me like I'm nuts. I don't care. Sometimes I just come out and I talk, like to God. And they think, oh, who's this guy? I don't care. But the thing is, you got to have that connection. You got to have that connection. And one of the biggest things is to thank God. And no matter who there is, even if you don't want to have a word, take them and look at their circumstance and just pray. And stand. If you have to write it down, write it down. And then see it come to pass. And if it doesn't come to pass, you did your duty, what you can do. That's what we need to do for people. We need to see and see God's all, not just a little thing. We got to take the whole thing of his and to put it on these people. So these people know. I had a guy come up to me one time and say, well, hey, there's no God. I said, well, you ask him. Ask him to reveal himself to you. He said, yeah. Well, you know what? A little later on, this was a long time, but he came up to me and said, he looked and says, well, I don't know. Something that was all in my mind. I said, no, that was God showing yourself to you. That was the living God training. Now, I prayed for you now, but prayer is just not is a request. It's a thing. You and the Father, you are joined to one, and you're both going after what this devil messed up. And when the promises are just turned around, it's God's way of saying, hey, you have all authority. Go ahead in my name. It's not we doing it, but it's God. But we are representatives of the living God. If Jesus can come down on this earth and give his life and his Father turned away from him and forsake God, well, he's forsaken me. We can at least turn around and do the same for him. Pick up our cross and follow him. But that's in every situation. So all I'm just saying is the pastor is right. Like I was at McDonald's doing the work and all that, and it was like God says, I need you to get up and get to the church with a message. When he was praying, it hit me so hard, So now I'm going back to what I do. So everybody has their own things. Everybody knows what their own plan is. We all have a plan. We got to take that plan and go for it. Because, I don't care where you go in this whole world or outside those doors, like it says, that's your ministry going out. You're going to run into somebody. And I guarantee you, 9 out of 10 don't know God. The thing is thin. So even if you don't want to have a word with them, pray for them. I tell you people, when I used to go down and pray in my spirit, which a lot of people don't believe in. I'm not knocking them. You don't have to believe. When I pray in the spirit, and I go down and I pray for people, and I agree with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I say, and I've had people say, oh, that's right. I said, well, you got it. I got to answer for my thing. You answer for yours. But I pray, and God told me, show me it was true. And I pray for these people. I sit there, and I pray for people in the vehicles and all that. I've had people come up to me and turn around and say, did you do something? I said, no, I just prayed for you. And I didn't even know him. So the whole thing is what I'm just trying to say. We can't take for granted. All right, we're getting old. We're getting age. We're going to answer to that day. I thought I was on a pedestal like, hey, I'm helping all these people. No. That's sneaky, no good for nothing. He'll take you off that track easy as 1, 2, 3. I mean, if he could do it to Adam and Eve, and they were perfect, and we're not. Well, but we have the perfect thing. We've got to let ourselves, let God handle every area of our life. So I'm just asking for a prayer for this lady I know and whoever you see in life, man. Even if you don't want to say, pray for them.
I think that's just a great practical example of all the things that can go wrong, that are going wrong in people's lives, and to approach those things with faith and confidence in the Lord is what we're talking about. To have that attitude of thanksgiving to begin with enables us to stand for God and to have confidence in our prayers and to truly make a difference. So let's keep that in mind as we enter into this Thanksgiving week. Thank you all for sharing all those things. You've helped inspired me to think about the things that I am thankful for and to remain standing with him. We have the strength of God with us. May you all have a week filled with thanksgiving and the power that comes with that. Let's pray and give thanks to the Lord. Lord, we do thank you for so many things. We thank you for the work that you're doing in us and through us. Lord, we thank you that we can pray with confidence in you, that you will make a difference. And I do love what Randy said about seeing people as you see them, not as they are. Help us to see that about ourselves and about one another and everyone we interact with. Help us to see who you made them to be. to have confidence in that and have thankfulness that you are capable of doing all things to transform us into those people. May we continue to live with that confidence each and every day, Lord. We thank you for your love and for your presence, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.